So thank you to Yeshiva University, first for inviting me, second of all for sponsoring such a program, allowing such a program to exist, for women to be able to gather together in this way and to learn with one another. It's really unique and special, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. When I first was planning what to speak about, it was still Hanukkah, and as some of you may know, I was actually initially slated to speak last week. So in my mind was the question of what is the transition? Where should our minds be as we move from Hanukkah to Esrei B'Tevet? Hanukkah, where you have this period of time where we're so happy and celebrating all that Hashem had done for us in that period of time. And then we encounter Esrei B'Tevet, this very sad day, and how exactly our minds need to transition one to the other. And one of the things I wanted to do in understanding it was looking at Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, of course, today being Esrei B'Tevet, so appropriate for us to learn Yirmiyahu, one of the few Nevi'im who prophesied during his time, probably the most prolific and in many ways the most, I think, emotional and probably the most famous. But he has a lot of messages that carry over, I think, even from the time of Hanukkah and until where we are today, looking at Esrei B'Tevet. Hanukkah, of course, took place after Esrei B'Tevet, during the Second Temple period, approximately, let's say, 167 BCE, whereas Esrei B'Tevet, in terms of the besieging of the first temple and the Ir HaAtika, took place around 588 BCE. But still, I think in many ways the messages of Esrei B'Tevet were internalized, and the Cheshbonaim were people who understood that which they needed to know. And that's part of what I want to look at together. So on Hanukkah, of course, we were attacked spiritually, initially just from a cultural perspective. And then the Yevanim came and gave us all these laws that we had to stop doing certain things. And among those things was Shabbos. And that's the one I want to look at in particular today, to understand why that was something that they viewed as so important and why it is so important. And maybe in looking at Yirmiyahu, we can gain a deeper perspective on something many of us know a lot about already. When you look at Sefer Yirmiyahu, and when you talk about the First Temple period, there are two sins that primarily are the things that come up over and over. There are Avodah Zarah, and there are issues of Bein Adam L'Chavero. And that's what these first two sources will show us. Yirmiyahu, first this is in Perek Bet. Yirmiyahu opens up, Perek Aleph is the Hakdasha, is the initiation for Yirmiyahu, and Perek Bet kind of becomes the introduction to the rest of the Sefer, what is going to come. So we have here Hashem turning and saying, "Lachen od ariv itchem in Hashem, ve'et bnei bneichem ariv, ki ivru iye kitiim uru v'kedar shochu v'hitbonenu ma'od uru hen hayta kazot." So how were they? How were they so terrible? Ha'himir goy elokim v'hema lo elokim va'ami himir kvodo belo yo'il. Can it be that a nation will exchange its God for a God that's not God? And my nation did exactly that, exchanging me for a kavod, for a god that is of no help. And this becomes the major pattern, probably the thing that is talked about more than anything else in the Sefer. You have over and over, Perek Gimel, Hey, Tet, it goes over and over, the emphasis on Avodah Zarah. But then you have Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and in Perek Zayin, we have, looking at Pasuk Dalet, the famous nevuah, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Hema. There are many ways to read it, but most people will say that you have Bnei Yisrael saying, we don't have to worry, we have Heichal Hashem. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, we're fine. Hashem's not going to do anything to us. Whereas Yirmiyahu turns to them and says, Heichal Hashem Hema, you people are really the essence of the Heichal. And if you aren't doing what you need to do, then Hashem doesn't care about that heichal. Hashem will destroy that heichal. And he goes on, Ki im heitiv teitivu et darkechem. You need to improve yourselves. Ve'et malalechem im asu ta'asu mishpat bein ish ubein re'ehu. You need to do mishpat. You need to care about one another. Ger yatom ba'almana lo ta'asoku. V'damna ki al tishpachu b'makom hazeh. You need to take care of the widows, of the orphans. You can't spill blood freely. You need to think about human beings and about the way we need to treat one another. And those are primarily the two things that appear over and over in Yirmiyahu. But then we come to Perek Yud Zayin, and that's going to be the focus of what I want us to look at today. Because in Perek Yud Zayin, you have a perek that doesn't really fit in Yirmiyahu. If you look at source 3, it says, Ko amar Hashem Eli. So Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, Haloch ve'amadeta v'sha'ar b'nei ha'am asher yavo'u bo malchei Yehuda v'asher yitz'u bo u'b'chol sha'arei Yerushalayim. Go stand in the gates of Yerushalayim, ve'amarta alehem, shim'u dvar Hashem malchei Yehuda v'chol Yehuda v'chol yoshvei Yerushalayim haba'im b'sharim ha'ele. Give this message, Ko amar Hashem, Hishamru b'nafshotechem, ve'al tis'u masa b'yom ha'shabbat, ve'hevetem b'sha'arei Yerushalayim. You should not be carrying a burden on Shabbat in order to protect your souls, and you should not be bringing that into Yerushalayim. Ve'lo totzi'u masa mibatechem b'yom ha'shabbat, ve'chom lacha lo ta'asu, ve'kidashtem et yom ha'shabbat, ka'asher tziviti et avotechem. And you should not take out these burdens from the gates of Yerushalayim on Yom HaShabbat. V'lo sham'u, v'lo hitu et oznam, v'yikshu et orpam, l'vilti shmoa u'l'vilti kachat musar. But you have not listened to me. You have not been doing as I say. V'haya im shamoa tishmu'un elai ne'um Hashem, l'vilti havi masa v'sha'arei ha'ir hazot v'yom HaShabbat, u'lekadesh et Yom HaShabbat l'vilti asot bo kom lacha. But if you do listen to me, Uba'u b'sha'arei ha'ir hazot mlachim v'sarim yoshevim al kise David, rochvim b'rechev u'basusim hema, v'sareihem ish Yehuda, v'yoshvei Yerushalayim, v'yashva ha'ir hazot le'olam. But if you do listen to me and keep this halacha of Shabbat and these halachot of Shabbat, then we will have people of David, of the lineage of David standing here. The Malchut will stand. We will have dignitaries from all the different nations coming. Uba'u me'arei Yehuda u'misvivot Yerushalayim u'me'eretz Binyamin u'min ha'shvela u'min ha'har u'min ha'negev mevi'im ola v'zevach u'mincha u'vona u'mevi'ei toda beit Hashem. We'll have people coming from all over to sacrifice and take part in the Beit HaMikdash. But if not, V'im lo tishma'u elai l'kadesh et yom ha'shabbat u'levilti se'et masa u'bo b'sha'arei Yerushalayim b'yom ha'shabbat v'hitzati esh b'sha'areha v'ochla ormanot Yerushalayim v'lo tichbe. If you do not adhere to what I am saying, then I will send fires down to Yerushalayim, to the Mikdash. I will destroy the Mikdash entirely. This perek doesn't really fit with anything else in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu never seems to speak about Shabbat anywhere else. And of all the things he talks about, to suddenly have this one perek is a very strange thing. And this is compounded by the idea of, where do we get this idea of Shabbat as having a national punishment? We know if I turn a light on Shabbat by accident, then God willing, one day I will bring a korban chatat. If I do it on purpose, then I'm chayav karet. You have individual onshim for Shabbat. But this idea that this collective problem of Shabbat creating a collective punishment, you don't usually have that. There's no announcement that if Am Yisrael does not keep kosher and mass, that Hashem will knock down the Beit HaMikdash. This doesn't exist. So this idea here is strange, and it's one that we need to understand. Another question that we'll get to towards the end is, of course, this focus on Masa in particular. We're talking about Shabbat, but specifically he keeps referring to Masa, this idea of carrying. But that's something we'll leave more towards the end. So I think in order to understand what's going on here, we need to look at other ideas of this national unified purpose for what we need to accomplish and how we need to behave with Hashem to understand where Yirmiyahu all of a sudden brings up this idea. And in doing so, I want to look at B'chukotai in Vayikra. Just to warn you, sources, I think it's 4 through 9, are in order of the psukim, but not in order of how we'll go through them. Because I wanted to present them so that way you'll see beginning, middle, end, but we're going to kind of skip around. So I'd want to begin with sources 6 and 7. Sources 6 and 7 are kind of brief summaries of what goes on in Bechukotai. Because Bechukotai is the summary of the brachot and the klalot that Hashem gives us in, towards the end of Sefer Vayikra. And he begins in source 6, V'im Bechukotai telechu, v'et mitzvotai tishmeru, v'asitem otam, v'natati gishmechem b'itam, v'natna ha'aretz yivula, v'et hasadeh yiten peryo, והשיג לכם דייש את הבציר, ובציר ישיג את זרע, ואכלתם לחמכם לסובה, וישבתם לבטח בארציכם. And it goes on for a few more psukim, the brachot. When we keep the Torah, Hashem will give us plenty, Hashem will give us rain, He will make our world be a place where we can thrive and where we can survive. But then it comes to the klalot. The klalot are famously much longer than the brachot. Ibn Ezra explains that that's in order to really instill fear in us. The brachot we can take as they are, but to really get us to get become afraid, we really need kind of to hear it all. But as a beginning piece of that, in source 7, v'im lo tishma'uli v'lo ta'asu akol ha'mitzvot ha'ele v'im b'chukotai tim asu v'im et mishpatai tig'al nafshachem l'vulti asot akol mitzvotai l'hafarchem et briti af ani e'ese zot lachem והפקדתי עליכם בהלה את השחפת ואת הקדחת מחלות עיניים ואת מדיבות נפש וזרעתם לריק וזרעכם ואכלוהו אויביכם ונתתי פני בכם ונגבתם לפני אויביכם ורדו בכם שונאיכם ונסתם ואין רודף אתכם.
This goes on and on, but it describes both in certain places how the land will, as opposed to what happened in the bracha, the land will not give us what we need, our oivim will come and they will capture us and they will make us suffer and they will punish us for that which we did. And he goes on and on. People usually understand it as there being five sort of groups of what the punishments are. In the fifth, though, we come to a very interesting group of psukim. Because if you look at source number 8, we have here kind of a mention of specific mitzvot all of a sudden. In the midst of the punishments, he says, "V'hishmadati et bamotechem, v'hichrati et chamanechem, v'natati et pigrechem al pigre gilulechem, v'ga'ala nafshi etchem, v'natati et arechem chorba, v'hasimoti et mikdeshechem, v'lo ariach bereach nichochachem." So, the next one, "V'hasimoti ani et haaretz v'shamamu aleha oyvechem hayoshvim ba." So there, in the midst of the punishment, we see actually kind of a hint of one of these sins that's taking place. And which, what is that sin? Does anyone see? It's Avodah Zarah. He's talking about the Bamot. He's talking about how they're all doing all these different issues of Avodah Zarah. So he's saying, I'm going to destroy all this evidence of Avodah Zarah. I'm going to destroy it and destroy you. And then, V'itchem Ezara Bagoyim, I will spread you out amongst the goyim. V'harikoti acharechem charev, v'heita artzechem shmama, v'arechem yihyu chorba. So the land will become desolate, and then what? As tirtze haaretz et shabtoteha, ko yimei hashama, v'atem be'eretz oyvechem, as tishbat haaretz, v'hirtza et shabtoteha, ko yimei hashama tishbot, et asher lo shavta b'shabtotechem, b'shiftechem aleha. So here we have the second punishment. The land will finally get what it needs. And what does it need? What haven't we been doing up until then? Shemitah. We haven't been doing Shemitah, and because we have not been doing Shemitah, the land will now take for itself that rest. Once it kicks us out, the land can receive the rest it did not receive during Shemitah, which it so needed. So we have here, in the midst of Bechukotai, only these two things mentioned that hint towards specific sins. This mention of Avodah Zarah, and this mention of Shemitah. But now, if we look at Bechukotai and some of Behar in terms of its larger picture, we can start to understand why these things are coming up. If you look in source 5, the psukim that come immediately before Bechukotai kind of give us a mini brit, a mini summary of all that which we need to do before laying down the brachot and the klalot. And it says, ואם לא יגאל באלה, ויצא בשנת היובל, הוא ובניו עמו. Really from the next one. כי לי בני ישראל עבדים, עבדי הם, אשר הוצאתי אותם מארץ מצרים, אני השם אלוקיכם. What did this remind us of? Anybody?
It's really the first Dibra, the first Dibur. So just sounds very similar to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And then from there, Lo ta'asu lachem elilim upesel umatseva, lo takimu lachem ve'even maskit lo titnu ba'artzechem lihishtachavot aleha ki ani Hashem Elokechem. So we have there Avodah Zarah. We have believe in Hashem, do not commit Avodah Zarah. And finally, immediately before Bechukotai, what do we have? Et Shabtotai tishmoru umikdashi tira'u ani Hashem. And you need to keep Shabbat and be aware and properly honor my mikdash, ani Hashem. And then we go right into the im Bechukotai. So immediately before the Brachot Mekbalot, we have this mini covenant, the summary of what Hashem wants us to fulfill before going into the Brachot and the Klalot. And now if we expand kind of our prism a bit greater, if we look at the beginning of Behar, if you look on source 4, we have here an interesting pasuk. We have a Yedaber Hashem el Moshe Behar Sinai Lemor. If you look at Sefer Vayikra, basically all of the Amirot from Hashem to Bnei Yisrael, from Hashem to Moshe, to Aharon, they take place at Petach Ohel Moed. It's a geographical location for basically all of Sefer Vayikra, until we get here. All of a sudden here, we have that Hashem is speaking to Moshe in Har Sinai. And then, when you look at source 9, immediately when the Klalot end, it says, Eila hachukim v'hamishpatim v'hatorah asher natan Hashem beino ubein bnei Yisrael behar Sinai b'yad Moshe. We have this clear parenthesis in Sefer Vayikra. Everything's at Ohel Moed except for right here. Except for what we're about to say in the beginning of Behar through the Klalot, those take place in Har Sinai. So we have a clear unit of things that are separate from everything else within Sefer Vayikra. And when we have that, and when we understand that, if you look back at Sefer, at source number 4, and you look immediately at what's the first thing it talks about, we have here something that also can explain further what's going on here. Daber el bnei Yisrael, va'amarta elehem, ki tavou el ha'aretz, asher ani noten lachem, v'shavta ha'aretz shabbat l'hashem. Shesh shanim tizra sadecha, v'shesh shanim tizmor karmecha, v'asavta et zvuata. So for 6 years, you will be working the land, and you will be gathering that which you have and that which you need. Ubashana hashvi'it, Shabbat Shavaton yiye la'aretz. Shabbat la'Hashem, sadcha lo tizara, v'karmacha lo tizmor. But then you reach the 7th year, and the 7th year is going to be a Shabbat Shavaton for the land. Et sfiach ksircha lo tiksor, v'et inveh nezirecha lo tibsor, shnat Shabbaton yiye la'aretz. V'hayta Shabbat ha'aretz lachem lo'ochla lacha, ula'abdecha ula'amatecha, ula'schircha ula'toshavcha, hagarim imach, ulevhemtecha ula'chaya asher b'artzecha tihiye kol tvuata le'echol. So here, we have this explicit understanding of Shemitah, and of course, over and over, how is Shemitah referred to? Giving away my answer, as Shabbat. Exactly. And here, and in many places, we have this connection, this inherent connection of Shabbat and Shemitah. Shabbat being Shabbat Bereshit, that which we were given in the beginning of the Torah because of Hashem's creation of the world, and the inherent connection between that and Shabbat Haaretz being Shemitah. That really they're one and the same thing. And the Torah over and over frames them as the same thing. Here, the magic number actually appears. How many times does Shabbat, the word Shabbat in its form, appear in this story? 7. In this little piece here, Shabbat appears 7 times. And 7 is always that number that we know means this is what you need to remember. This is the focus. So we have here, within this unit in Vayikra, this buildup of 2 things. 2 things that you need to remember are the essence of the brit between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. And they are Shabbat and Avodah Zarah. That if you keep Shabbat being both Shabbat Bereshit and Shabbat Haaretz, and if we understand Avodah Zarah, then we are fully taking part in Hashem's brit. And the Rambam, if you look in the Rambam, here in source 10, he says this straight out, and he's really citing Gemarot and Chazal for this, but he says in source 10, Hashabbat v'avodah zarah, kol achat mishtehem shkula keneged sha'ar kol mitzvat haTorah. that each of those two, Shabbat and Avodah Zarah, are the basically equal every other mitzvah and Torah altogether. They are the equivalent of all the Torah altogether on the other side. V'ha-Shabbat hi ha'ot shebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'beinenu le'olam. Lefichach kol ha'over al sha'ar mitzvot harei hu bichlal rish'ei Yisrael. Aval mechalel Shabbat beparhesia harei hu ke'oved avodah zarah u'shneihem ke'goyim l'chol darkei adivrehem. So we have here this inherent connection. In another place, the Rambam has a much smaller statement where he says, Shabbat ve'avodah zarah ikarei hada'at. They are the most essential parts of our faith and of our religion. And in keeping these two mitzvot, you are in essence keeping all of our Torah. But if this is the case, so why don't we see this anywhere else? Why isn't this something that appears? But the truth is, it actually does. And specifically, if you look at Nehemiah in source 11, Nehemiah is taking place during the rebuilding of the second Mikdash. Bnei Israel are coming back, they're coming to Israel, and, you know, not in the numbers that they should, but they're coming back. And at that time, they need to really rededicate themselves to God. They need to show Hashem, we're here, we're going to do this, we're for real. So what do? They create a new brit. And if we look, let's see what this new brit is. In source 11, Parak Yud, Kaftet Ad Lamed Gimel, U'sha'ar ha'am, ha'kohanim, ha'levi'im, ha'shorim, ha'meshorim, ha'netinim. He's just going on listing the people who are there. Pasuk lamet machzikim al achehem adirehem uba'im ba'ala ubeshvua lalechet b'torat ha'elokim asher nitna b'yad Moshe eved ha'elokim ulishmor v'la'asot et kol mitzvot Hashem Adonenu u'mishpatav v'chukav. They are here to keep this brit. They are here to create this brit with you once again. And what are the bases of this brit? Pasuk lamet aleph v'asher lo niten b'notenu le'amei ha'aretz. So this is not exactly what you might expect. What does it say? It says, we won't intermarry. We promise, we won't intermarry. Now, Nehemiah, in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, this was a very big problem. Intermarriage was a tremendous problem that was really overtaking us, and that was one of the essential problems of what was going on. But in the Torah, intermarriage really has one understanding, and that is clearly Avodah Zarah. If you look at sources 12 and 13. And first you have in Shmot, Pen tichrot brit liyoshev ha'aretz, v'zanu acharei elokehem, acharei Eloheihem, v'zavchu le'elohehem, v'kara lacha v'achata mizivcho. There are people going and doing avodah zarah. V'lakachta mibnotav lebanecha, v'zanu bnotav acharei elohehen, v'hiznu et banecha acharei elohehen. So he says specifically here, you're doing avodah zarah, and what are you doing? You're taking their what? You're taking their women. You're taking their women as a means then that brings you on the path of Avodah Zarah. And even more explicitly in Zvarim, V'lo titchaten bam bitcha, V'lo titen livno ubito, lo tikach livnecha. Don't intermarry, do not marry someone of another faith. Why? Ki yasir et bincha me'acharai, V'avdu Elohim achirim, V'chara af Hashem bachem, V'hishmidcha maher. Why shouldn't you intermarry? Because it will lead to Avodah Zarah. If you intermarry, it will affect you, it will change your mind, and it will bring you on the path of Avodah Zarah. Ki im ko to'asu lahem mizbachotechem, titotsu umatevotam tishaberu, vashirehem tigadeun, upsilehem tisrefun ba'esh. And then he will punish us for that act. So we have first in Nehemiah this idea of intermarriage, which we see is inherently connected with that of Avodah Zarah. And what's the second thing Nehemiah says, this is part of our brit? Back to Pasuk Lamed Bet, the Ami Haaretz, Hanevi'im et Hamakachot, the Chol Shever Bayom HaShabbat Limkor, Lo Nikach Mehem BaShabbat, Ubayom Kodesh Venitosh El Shana HaShvi'it Umasa Koyad, Ve'amadnu Aleinu Mitzvot, Latet Aleinu Shlishit HaShekel B'Shana L'Avodat Beit Elokeinu. I was going to come to that after, but we have this idea that how are we rededicating ourselves? We are keeping Shabbat, and specifically, again, we actually have this mention of Masa. This idea of, because I'm going to keep Shabbat, I'm not going to do Masa, I'm not going to carry. And here we start to have a greater understanding of what Masa is, because it seems to have something to do here with business. But we have here clearly this understanding that when it was time to rededicate ourselves, for the second Mikdash, we understood that that needed to be formulated within a promise of removing ourselves from Avodah Zarah and then keeping Shabbat. In fact, the last Pasuk Lamed Gimel there was talking about bringing a Shlishit Shekel. At that time, that was the equivalent of the Machatzit HaShekel. So what are they doing? They're collecting money for the Beit HaMikdash. Because the inverse, of course, of Avodah Zarah is dedicating ourselves properly to Avodah HaMikdash, which is going to, of course, make sense in the context of the problem of Asarah B'Tevet and how we left Hashem in that time. So now, with this understanding of all of these things, we can come back now and try to understand Yirmiyahu a bit differently. Because what's going on? We have here really this idea as these two mitzvot seem really, really primary. And how these two, in essence, are the basis of everything we need. And how both of them really reflect the same idea. What is that idea? Avodah Zarah, we can't turn to anyone else. Shabbat and Shemitah, 6 days are ours, but that seventh day is not. 6 years are ours to use the land as we please, and that seventh day is not. So this is not a new idea, but it's this idea that nothing really comes from us. Nothing that we do is really our own. We need for those 6 days to do what we can do. But we reach that seventh day, and all of a sudden, it's a day of faith. It's a day where we say, you know something? I can't do anything, and I will trust that God will do what I need. This is really, I think, a part of Shabbat that I think my generation, at least, doesn't feel usually. Because, thank God, because of the generosities of the country that we live in now and the freedoms we live in now, we don't experience the same things people experienced, for instance, in the early 20th century, where every time they would not come in on a Shabbat, they'd be fired. And we have stories of families where every week they would have to start looking for a new job. And this is the essence, really, of what's going on here. This idea of Shabbat as being a sacrifice. Shabbat as being putting our lives in God's hands and saying, I'm going to do what I can do, but ultimately, I can only do so much. And I need to trust that Hashem will do it for me. That Hashem can help as long as I do whatever I can do. Hashem will then take my life and will enable me to succeed despite the fact that one day a week or 1 year out of seven, I need to do nothing. It's really an act of faith. It's an act of saying, I believe. I believe it's going to be okay, even though it doesn't really make sense. It doesn't really make sense for me to get fired each week. It doesn't make sense for me not to harvest my fields one year out of seven. But because this whole world really belongs to God, I will trust that He will do that for me. And seeing this, it actually sheds light on another parak of Yirmiyahu. There's a parak in Yirmiyahu that people usually understand as being an example of the problems of Ben Adam L'Chaverot. But having done this together, we can see it a little differently. And that's in source 14. In source 14, it says, "Vayhi dvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu ve'et Hashem lemor. Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Anochi karati brit et avotechem ve'yom hotzi'i otam me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beit avadim lemor. When I took you out of Mitzrayim, we made a brit, which said, Miketz sheva shanim, after 7 years, Tishalchu ish et achiv ha'ivri, asher yimacher lacha, va'avadcha shesh shanim, v'shilachto chofshi me'imach. So here we have Yirmiyahu speaking about Eved Ivri. We have him discussing how way back when he made this brit, when because I took you out of Mitzrayim and stopped you from being a slave, now I need you to understand that you may have a slave for 6 years, but when that seventh year comes up, he needs to be set free. And what happened? They didn't do it. So most people understand this as a parak about Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, which it is, but it's also something much deeper. Because what happens? So they didn't do it. V'tashuvu atem hayom, v'tasu atayashar be'enai, likro dror ish l're'ehu, v'tichvertu brit lefanai bebayit, asher nikrash mi alav. So he calls on them. So let them go free. And what happened? V'tashuvu. So they did. Because they first they let them go, and then tashuvu v'telachalalu et shmi, V'tashivu ish et abdo, v'ish et shifchato, asher shilachtem chofshim l'nafsham, v'tichbashu otam lihiyot lachem l'avadim u'lishfachot. They let them go.
They said, okay, we're going to let them go. That's what we have to do. But then what they do? They took them back. They said, it's too hard. I need my slave back. I can't let him go. So after having done the act that God wanted of freeing the slaves, they said, oh, no, 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 no. I need my slave. I need my housekeeper. I can't go without my housekeeper. They took them back. And it was this very thing. It was this understanding, this lack of understanding that you're not going to be okay because you have X or Y. You're only going to be okay because God will make you okay. But they didn't have that faith. They didn't have that inherent belief that they needed to have. And that really is the problem. So in looking at all of this, we have this understanding. So it makes sense that Shabbat should appear because Shabbat really is in essence the same idea as Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah is this idea that not everything comes from God. Maybe Ra or Baal or whatever other God could help me out. I'm having a hard time. It's turning to something else. It's saying not everything comes from God. And in that same way, Shabbat is this idea that I am my own master of destiny. I can make it happen. So Shabbat, as this parak, can fit with the larger theme of what B'nai Israel was doing wrong at this time. But that, of course, still creates the problem with what's Masa? It's a very strange thing. In fact, if you think about Shabbat, and if you think about the Lamedtet Melachot of Shabbat, probably of all of them, Masa is the strangest. The whole idea of Shabbat is that we're not supposed to do Yetzirah. We're not supposed to do active creation on that day. Masa is not that. Masa is really different than every other melacha in the Gemara of the things we cannot do. And Tosfot, in Source 15, makes that point explicitly. He's talking about Hotza'ah, he's talking about carrying, and he says, Hotza'ah gufa heichektiva, so that's citing the Gemara, and he says, the afal gav shahaita b'mishkan. We had carrying in the Mishkan. Kede amar hem horidu krashim ma'agala. They would carry. So then he goes on, he says, mikom akom ilav dichtiv lo heve mechave ala lefi shemlacha gru'ahi. He says, you know what? Hotza'e'ah is a mlacha gru'ah. It's a terrible mlacha. It makes no sense. You could be in your home carrying a huge 10-ton weight, and you're fine. You could then leave a Rishut Yachid, go outside into Rishut Rabin with a feather, and you're over. Makes no sense. He said, this mlacha makes no sense. Mlacha gru'ahi. And this is the mlacha that Yirmiyahu chooses to talk about in his parak? What's going on? So, Malbim gives one answer. Malbim gives one answer. He says, V'lo totzi'u masa mibatechem. Peresh radak chutz l'shaharei ayir. So he explains, oh, this is talking about carrying, as we assumed, because he's talking about taking this masa out of the sha'arim. Retzono lomar ki Yerushalayim dlateha ne'ulot b'layla ve'ein ladin reshut harabim. Because Yerushalayim was technically not reshut harabim, so within Yerushalayim you could carry, the issue was taking it outside. V'yesh lomar, so he's here, gam al hakarmalit shishlomit gazar eruvin. So one opinion that Malbim cites is that this is actually because Shlomo HaMelech, way back when, actually said, he taught the laws of Karmalit. Karmalit is a strange kind of an isur about in the halachot of Hotza'ah. I'm not going to go into that in depth, but basically, usually, something is over on Hotza'ah if it doesn't have gates and if it's large enough to be Rishut Rabin. You're going out into Rishut Rabin. Karmalit fulfills one requirement, not the other, and it's Asur only Midirabanan. So what's the message according to Malbim? Va'alze amar v'chol mlacha lo ta'asu. So what's the message of this perek? Af mlacha dirabanan. That the problem with Masa is that because of the specific way that they were carrying, it's really showing us that we even have to be keeping Mlachot Derabanan. We even have to be thinking of the Mlachot that are in the Talmud, that are not Oraita, but that are Derabanan. This may be the case, but I think within the understanding that we have now of Shabbat, we can think about Masa a very different way. Because as we saw in Nehemiah before, and as we'll see now in another source in Nehemiah, Masa has a very specific message. What is it? If you look at 17, Bayamim Hahema, Ra'iti Bihuda, Dorchim Gitot B'Shabbat,
There are people who were treading on wine presses. Umivim ha'arimot ve'omsim al chamorim. And they were bringing sheaves and they were loading them on their donkeys. Ve'af yayin anavim ute'inim ve'chol masa umivim Yerushalayim b'yom ha'shabbat. Ve'aid b'yom michram tzaid. So I warned them on that day that they sold provisions. This is about business. This is about people coming and performing business on Shabbat. V'hatzorim yashvu ba mevi'im dag v'chol mecher u'mochrim b'Shabbat l'bnei Yehuda b'Yerushalayim. So what here is Masa, both in Nehemiah and we can understand in Yirmiyahu? Masa is about conducting business. And if we're thinking about Shabbat as an issue of believing that God will take care of us and not having to worry that we need to do things on our own, Masa really is the best representation of all the mlachot in that respect. Because whereas different mlachot represent different things about creation, Hotza'ah, and specifically Hotza'ah here for the purpose of business, means they were afraid. They were afraid in putting their lives in God's hands. They were afraid of turning to Hashem and saying, I'm not going to go to work on Shabbat. I'm going to take this day off. They couldn't do it. And that was what the problem is, and that's exactly representative of everything that Shabbat seems to be here. And when we have here this look, this understanding of it, all of a sudden, this parak in Yirmiyahu really becomes much clearer. And if you look in 18, Radak here adds, V'kol ha-meshamer ha-shabbat be'emuna yishara, lo b'mheira hu choteh b'shar ha-mitzvot, ve'amru rabotenu zelashonam, kol ha-meshamer shabbat kehilchata, afilu oved avodat kochavim u'mazalot, kador anosh mochalim lo. So what does Radak explain here about keeping Shabbat? Anyone who keeps Shabbat in a real serious way, lo b'mheira hu choteh b'shar ha-mitzvot. Someone who really keeps Shabbat the proper way will not make other mistakes. Shabbat is actually something that can safeguard us. If we keep Shabbat properly, then we won't have to worry that we'll make other kinds of mistakes. Because if we internalize the message of Shabbat as we should, it will focus us in such a way that we won't make other mistakes that we might make. The message of Shabbat is so great and is so strong that it will focus us in such a way that we won't make mitzvot of kashrut. We don't make mitzvot of bein adam l'chaveru. We won't make mistakes of anything. Because Shabbat is about saying, it's not about me. It's about God. And if you can really understand that, then everything else can fit into place. And he goes on and says, Ba'amru rabatein uzal, kol ha-meshamer Shabbat kehilchata, afilu aved avodat kochavim mazalot kedor onish amochalim lo. That if you're one of a nation of your door who is committing avodah zarah, but you keep Shabbat, because you are in the midst of a people that have influenced you, but you yourself can still say, God is the one who provides my sustenance, and God is the one who gives me everything I need, mochalot mochalim lo. God forgives you. If you just become sucked into the generation that you are in and you make that mistake, but you keep Shabbat, you're forgiven, according to this Chazal. Because Shabbat is so representative of the values that we need to have, that should we have that value, we're set. So now, we think back on Hanukkah. Way back, we were talking about from Hanukkah to Asara B'Tevet. So the Yevanim understood this. The Yevanim understood that Shabbat was a focus. And also, it's so amazing when we think about it, that once a week we have that obligation to focus. We have chagim that make us internalize certain messages. But once a week, we need to stop. And as we all know, Shabbat's not only in our head one day a week because we have to prepare, you have to get ready. All that is in our heads that often, it allows us to focus ourselves as we need to. And the Yevanim understood that to be a problem. And way back when, in the time of Yirmiyahu, we didn't have that understanding, which is why everything just fell apart. But all those years later, during the second Mikdash, when the Yevanim were upon us and they were trying to infiltrate our minds and our cultures and our beings, there were those who understood that taking away Shabbat from us was really, it brought about a call to arms. It wasn't something we could have. Matityahu ultimately really revolted, according to Yosefus and different things, after an instance of Avodah Zarah, a public instance of Avodah Zarah. But all these things built up to be things that we understood as being really a threat to who we were and what we believed. Leading from there to Aser HaBeTevet, now, today, as we fast for this day, I think what I like about this idea is Avodah Zarah is very hard for us to relate to. Because, please God, that's not really where most of us are. And even Bein Adam L'Chaverot, obviously, there is much that we can do Bein Adam L'Chaverot. It happens to be in Yirmiyahu, many of those things are not things we're generally, I hope, we're really transgressing, because they happen to be very specific ones in terms of judgment, in terms of mistreatment of certain individual kinds of people. But this message, and this overarching message that is so fundamental to who we are, is something we really can think about on this day and think about how it applies to us. And I would really hope that if we want to ultimately, as Rav Orlian showed earlier, take this day and change it from a day of sorrow to a day of celebration, that we can take both Shabbat in actuality and the day itself, and we can internalize its messages, again, in ways that often we don't have the opportunity to do, because we're not faced with the same threats former generations did. But if we can take it as a means of understanding who we are and who God is in our lives, we can use the day as a way to celebrate God and to connect to Him, both not only in terms of the individual malachot, but in terms of the way we engage with others and with ourselves on that day, the way we think about who we are and what's important to us. So if we take Shabbat itself, but not only that, if we take the larger message of Shabbat and the messages behind it in terms of who Hashem needs to be in our lives every single day, then I hope that God willing, we all can bring about this change, this transformation of Aser HaBeTevet, that next year it will not have to be this day of sorrow, but it will be a day of celebration and of joy. Thank you for joining me today.